May the words of my lips and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Amen. So when I read today's gospel, I was reminded of a picture that is making rounds on the internet. You may have seen it. Picture of a dog, like any dog, could be my dog, happily snoozing on a couch. And a caption under the dog happily snoozing on the couch reads, "Once we were wolves, wild and free. Then we noticed you had couches." Now you may think it's a bit of a stretch to go from the dogs on couches to the gospel today, but really there's a lot in common here. Because what the gospel today is talking about, what Jesus is praying about, are distractions. And what that picture is, of course, about distractions. The wolves being distracted from who they really are to become something else. And the gospel today is about that same thing. Us being distracted from who we really are to become something else. Now, that may not be obvious at first, because the gospel is a prayer, a long and complicated prayer. And what is going on here is that Jesus is talking about his disciples in a new place, a place where John's audience also finds themselves, a place that they might consider a crisis, but a place that you and I would just consider life as normal. And that is the reality that Jesus is no longer in their midst. There comes a time when Jesus is no longer seen. Yes, the gospel is true, but where is the one who talks about it? Where is the one who proves it? Nowhere to be seen. That story we call the Ascension, and by the way, that's part of the Stations of the Resurrection, so come to that and you'll hear that story. But the point is, what do we do now? How do we know what to do when Jesus is no longer among us to tell us what to do? Now, it's helpful to remember that the Gospel of John is written not really to record exactly what Jesus said and did. It's meant to record what Jesus meant by what he said and did. That's why the Gospel of John is so wordy, long speeches of explanation, and in this case, a long prayer. Because what John is imagining is that as Jesus leaves his disciples, he prays for them. This prayer takes place at the Last Supper. Jesus is prepared to complete his ministry, and we know where this is taking him. He's going to be arrested. He's going to be crucified, but the resurrection will be the final word. All that is the plan, but at this point, Jesus is focusing not on where he is going, but on what he's leaving behind. What will his followers do now? How will they know what to do now? Where will they go? And so Jesus is praying about that, and it's the distractions he has in mind. What does he want them to have? What does he want them to know? That's kind of an interesting question to imagine for ourselves. What would Jesus pray for you and I? Hold that question, because that is where we're going with all of this. But at this point, what Jesus is saying is that he needs his disciples to be protected. That's what he asked for, that they will be protected. And that's kind of a nice prayer, isn't it? We ask for that a lot. For ourselves and for one another, we pray for safe travel, we pray for tests to go the right way, we pray for things to work out, but that's not exactly the kind of protection Jesus is talking about. It's not safe travel in the sense that he's praying his disciples won't be hit by a bus. It's safe travel in the sense that he is praying his disciples will stay on the right road. And what will take them off that road are the distractions. And the story that tells us that is the story that he mentions of the one disciple that didn't stay on the right road, Judas. He's also mentioned in our first reading. Judas betrays Jesus. He's one of the 12. He's always there. He heard everything, and yet he got lost. How did that happen? It's not that Judas doesn't know who Jesus is. It's not that Judas doesn't believe in Jesus. He stays with him the whole time. It's that Judas got distracted by his own ambitions, by his own understandings, by his own hopes and dreams, but somehow Judas gets to the point where he knows better than Jesus does about who Jesus is and what Jesus is supposed to do. And he can't, he's deaf to hear what Jesus is saying. He can't hear anymore what Jesus is telling him to do. He's blind to what Jesus is doing, how Jesus is showing God's way. He's got a whole other agenda, and that's how he gets trapped by the evil one. He gets trapped by his agenda until he can't hear anything else. Jesus' prayer is that none of the rest of his followers will fall prey to these temptations, that none of the rest of his followers will fall off the road, that none of them will be distracted. So, 2,000 plus years later, how's that prayer worked out, do you think? That's kind of sad, isn't it? We have story upon story, don't we? All kinds of stories of how Christians have been distracted from the path we are meant to be on. All the ways we have thought something else seemed better. And we know that's the temptation. We know that is the worry. We know that's the criticism. Our critics are always talking about how Christians are hypocrites and Christians are doing this and saying something else, and this is what they're talking about. Christians get off track. What draws us off track, do you think? Jesus prays that we will be protected by the truth. What's this truth he's talking about? That's what we keep coming back to remind ourselves of, because we need to remember it. It's important to keep it safe, keep track of it. Basically, we keep thinking that we've got a shortcut. Let me explain. The truth Jesus brings is his message, the good news, the gospel of the new creation that he is inviting us to be a part of. It's the kingdom of God. It's the place where we will know who we are, the place where we will belong, the place all God's creation is called to live in, where our fulfillment, our reality will be seen. We will be whole. We will be God's people. We will be everything we are meant to be in the kingdom of God. We get distracted by imagining that there are other, better, easier, quicker ways to be who we are meant to be. And like the wolves looking at the couches, we start thinking there's something better that we should have. What might those better things be? Well, basically, it's the idea that we're really meant to be independent, that our lives are all about us, that if you don't need anybody and you don't give to anybody, you will be better off. Invent yourself. Keep everything. Put your life together. That's where happiness is to be found. And so we get off track. We get distracted. We start imagining, for example, that it would be good to be safe and secure, to know what's coming up next, to have all the answers, to be protected in a way of security, when the gospel calls us to the vulnerability of walking by faith, trusting not that we've got the answers, but that God has the answers, trusting that by following his ways, we will be where we are meant to be. We will find what our lives are about. But it's so much easier to imagine that there's a quicker way. We imagine that we would be better off if we really could just be better than other people. And so we imagine that being superior, knowing who's good and who's bad, knowing who's better and who's not, knowing who's worthy of our attention and who's not worthy of our attention, all that is good. Because then you can sort everybody else and know who to waste time on, who not to waste time on. The gospel says, show compassion. The gospel says we will find our belonging not in our superiority, but by our service, by sharing love. That's where we will grow. That's where we'll know who we are and how to belong. That's where we will find ourselves. Not by being most important. Not by being the ones who get to judge others. This is how it goes. We get distracted. These other things seem good, but the gospel says, this is the good we are called to. This is the truth. The truth of the good news that we need one another. The truth of the good news that we belong together. The truth of the good news that we can hold one another up, that we can care for one another, that in our compassion and in our love and in our vulnerability and yes, even in our loss, that's where we will find our wholeness. That's where we will find what the gospel calls joy. Because that's the last mark of all of this. Jesus prays that we'll know truth, but the mark of that truth, he says, is joy. He prays that we will have the same joy he has. So what does he mean by that? Joy is a Christian word. We use that all the time because we want to point out that joy and happiness are not really quite the same thing. And that's easy to tell by the story because Jesus is saying he has joy, but remember, where is he going after this is all done? Not a nice place, right? And yet he's joyful. Now, he can't be happy, because happy means you have things the way you want them to be. But joy means, and this is how Jesus lives, he knows where he belongs. Jesus has a confidence of identity. He knows, and this prayer demonstrates that, he knows exactly who he is. He knows exactly what he is meant to do. He knows exactly where he is going. At least, according to this prayer, he does. And in all that, what Jesus knows is that he is God's Messiah. He's the one called by God, the one sent by God to bring God's message to the world. Nothing less will do for his life. Now, we know who we are. That's why we keep coming back, to remember who we are. We are God's people. We are God's beloved. He has created us out of his love. He has called us into his presence. He has called us into relationship with him. He's called us not simply to be smart and know everything. He's called us to love. And he's called us because he loves us. And in that, we know who we are, and we know what we're supposed to do. Now, the problem is, of course, our joy is a bit shaky. Jesus has a confidence that we might admire, but we don't have. Like Jesus, we are called to walk in faith, that is, to trust in God, but somehow it's tougher than this prayer makes it seem to be, isn't it? Maybe what we should do as we look to walk in faith, as we look to know this joy that the gospel promises us, is to take a clue from the gospel and to do it the way Jesus demonstrates. What if we were to pray? Pray for ourselves, pray for all of us, pray for our community. You know, we do that. I know we pray. We pray all the time. But when you listen to the gospel, you have to hear that our prayers compared to Jesus' prayer are very tiny, small prayers. Because what we're praying for is that we would get happiness, really, the goods of the world, the things we know we want and need. Security, safety. We're praying for health. We're praying for the new job. We're praying for the smooth road. And it's not that we shouldn't pray for those things. They are good things. We should look for them. But they are not the sum total of our lives. And they're not what Jesus is praying for. When Jesus prays for us, what he wants us to have is truth. What he wants us to have is wholeness. What he wants us to have is what he has, the confidence and the peace of knowing who we are and where we belong. If we have that, we can follow him on the road. We will never be lost. So what if we were to pray for what Jesus prayed? Pray these great big prayers, these prayers of the big picture, the prayers of the kingdom of God. Pray for us to remember that we belong to the kingdom of God. What might that look like? What could we ask? Some of the things we could think of, perhaps, inspiration, hope, compassion, perseverance maybe, faith, strength, wisdom. These are big gifts. These are gifts we can use through our lives. These are gifts that don't come easily. and take time and faith to develop. But these are the gifts that will tell us who we are. So let's try this experiment, because it always ends with an experiment, right? When we gather around the altar for communion, there's a time in the prayer today when we pray for the church. We say, remember your one Holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. And then if you're reading the words, there's a whole bunch of stuff in brackets that we could say, but we don't say. In those brackets, let's say this time what we think God, Jesus might say for us. Let's pray for ourselves, for each other, especially for this community, what we think Jesus wants us to have. Those prayers of the big picture, the prayers of the things that will bring us joy, the prayers for the things that will demonstrate our faith, that will remind us of our identity in Christ. Pray for those big picture things. Take a moment to think about it, and when we get to that part in the prayer, with wild abandon, let's offer it. Because what if we have to lose? All we are called for, too, is joy. All the possibility is hope, and it is what Jesus says we are. So let's pray the prayers that say, this is who we are, God's people, and we settle for nothing less. Amen.